Session number 20783, Reel 1.
Cyril Handley, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Burslem, Stoke-on-Trent.
Which year was this?
1923.
Did both your mother and father come from Burslem?
Yes.
And did you grow up and have your schooling at Burslem?
I did.
Which school did you go to?
Well, to start off with, the infant schools was Hilltop. And then I went to Park Road. Passed the 11 plus there and went to the grammar school in Hanley.
Had your father worked in pottery industry?
All his life.
How old were you when you finished school?
16.
So that was just as the war broke out?
Yes, my birthday is September the 8th and war broke out just a week before.
Did you hear Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
Yes. On the radio.
How did you feel about that?
Hard to say. At that age, I mean, I could see that, like, Mum and Dad and everybody were upset about it, you know, as it came over. Because, I mean, let's be honest about it, your parents could remember the First World War. Not that my father fought in the First World War, he was in the remounts in Romsey.
Were you much affected by the war at first?
Not really. I expect the first time. After I left school, I went into accountancy. And one of the local bus companies, Brown's, what they did, he started the Home Guard up. And although I didn't belong to the Home Guard, I used to have to go down to, and I did all the records for them. You know, after they'd interviewed people, I took all the records and filed them and got them all together for them. Or I won't say I did, I helped a lot with it, you know.
Were you in any bombing in Burslem area?
Very, very little. Stoke had very few bombs. We used to do the fire watching, as everybody did in them days. And like I say, I was working for a firm of accountants. And I can remember where I lived. There was one night, one bomb dropped on the street next to us. And one dropped very close to Dalton's. And that's about the only ones I can remember, to be honest. I know there was one or two places around that had the odd bomb, but we never had anything that you say was really bad, shall put it that way.
What was your address at that time?
I lived in 3 Grafton Avenue, High Lane, Burslem.
And what was the name of the street where the bomb fell?
Bluestone Avenue.
How did you come to be in the army?
What happened, lots of friends had gone into the army by that time, and quite truthfully, I was working in accountancy. But we were pushed far too fast due to people going. I'll give you an example. I was doing trial balances and private ledger work, and I was only 17, and I just wasn't capable, to be honest. And what happened, I know I've sat in the office some nights trying to balance books, and you might make it, but I'd be there till about midnight, you know, trying just to work it out. And to be honest, I got a bit fed up with it. And one Saturday morning, I know I went down to Bethesda Street, which was the recruiting office in Hanley in Stoke-on-Trent, went in and said, I'd like to volunteer for the army. What branch would you like? Tanks. We'd like you, you know, I did the test, and I got a card to join the lifeguards at Windsor. When I got down to Windsor, I went to Cambermere Barracks, but I wasn't there long at all, because after they said to me that they don't know why they sent me to the lifeguards, because to be honest, my build wasn't good enough for a guardsman. I was always like I am now, you know, a human pull-through, shall we say. And So I was sent back. I was home. I went back to count. I went back to work for the firm of accountants again, but only for about 5-6 weeks, and then I asked to report to Bovington Camp.
And what's that. What had attracted you to tanks?
Always had. All through the war, all through my boyhood, tanks interested me. A friend of my father's, a chap named Cartwright, he was actually a regular in the army, stationed at Bovington. And I don't know actually any other reason, but I always wanted tanks. And of course, I've heard my father and my Uncle Tom talking about tanks, and I think it just got inbred in me. And that was because my father with his friends was always saying, well, we had horses in the First World War, because like I say, he was in the remounts at Romsey, and saying, oh, today of course we'd be teaching chaps how to drive tanks. And that's how the conversation used to go. And anyway, I'm never sorry I did, because quite truthfully, I mean, as much as anybody can say they had a good time in the army, I did. Because, I mean, I met lots of good friends, which I've still got to this day.
Can you pick up the story where I interrupted you, please, with going to Bovington, please?
Yes, well, when we got to Bovington, I was in 31 Troop. And the training at Bovington was roughly about 9 months. You did your preliminary training, you know, in other words, square bashing, and that went on for about 6 weeks. Then you went on to do driving. And what happened, the chaps that could actually drive already was put onto motorbikes. Those of us who couldn't, we were brought up on 1500 weights. And at the time, at the 58th Training Regiment, where we were, they had a Churchill, a Matilda, Valentine, Crusaders and Covenanter. And in my time there, I drove a Churchill, a Valentine and Crusader. And when I say drove, I mean, we used to go up in a gang onto the moors. It isn't like it is today, and you had to hang around, and then you'd have your go, so to speak. And when you'd finished that, you did a bit of a written exam in the morning on the day you were coming on leave, and I think it was on Crusader tanks we had to write, and then we came on our first leave. During that time, that's when I met Jack Woods, Brian Marchant, Bill Saunders, a chap named Johnny Towson, who got the military medal, who went to the 9th Tanks with me. Can't think of any other names, just offhand. But we came on leave. After your leave, you went back, and you then went to Lulworth. And when you were in Lulworth, you did your gunnery. And you used to fire, well, the ranges at Lulworth. And you also, you know, learned how to strip beezers, fire Bren guns, fire rifle, which, of course, being in the tanks, that's about the only time I fired a rifle all through the war. When you finished that, you then came back to Bovington and you did your wireless. And we used to have these little utilities that we used to go all over, you know, the immediate area in Dorset with 19 sets. And of course, you learnt Morse, learned how to basically look after a wireless set. And when that was finished, you then had another leave. Coming back from that leave, we used to go out into the forest somewhere near Ringwood, and we did what we then called our collective training. In other words, and it wasn't good actually, because that was November by then. And when that was done, you put everything that you learned together. In other words, your wireless, your driving, and we had Lloyd's carriers out in the forest, and you came back, we had your passing out parade, and you're allocated to your regiments. Now, the 58th Training Regiment, you couldn't be 19 to be in it. We were all 18-year-olds. And what happened, there was quite a few of them. Two I can bring to mind, a chap named Waitley, actually came from, had been to Eton, one had been to Harrow. The chap named Barnes above me was from Harrow. And they went, they were given a stripe, and on to, they went on to Sandhurst, where the rest of us joined the regiments we'd been allocated to, which in my case was the 9th Tanks, which about 10 of us went, actually. Like, you know, you met Jack Woods, and he was one of us. And Johnny Talson, I've already mentioned, and Bill Saunders, as he went to the 9th. And we were a good little gang, you know, and we kept, well, we still meet each other, you know, even after all these years.
Where did you find the regiment?
What happened, a list of regiments went up at the end, and you were actually asked to give a preference for the regiment. Why we put in for the 9th, I don't know, to be honest. We knew it was the Quizzy Frot, you know, regiment.
Quizzy Frot?
Yes. If you look over there, you'll find a little brass plaque about the 9th Tanks, and it's got the actual Quizzy Frot. It's an honour that the 9th Battalion got in the First World War, and we used to wear it on our left sleeve. Well, a brass badge on the left sleeve.
Is this a Latin tag?
Yeah, it says Quizzy Frot Sibrul on it. And quite proud of it, to be honest. You know, the only thing is, what I'm always sorry about, I lost mine. Oh, I sent it home to my father when the 9th broke up, but it got misplaced somewhere. Yeah.
And where did you join the regiment?
Charing in Kent. That was in November 42.
What did you find when you got there?
Well, when we got there, it was a funny story, really, because the whole regiment was out on a scheme. And we waited in a alleyway in a pub up at the Royal Oak, I think it was called, I'm not certain. And we then went to there was three camps, All's Place, then the one in Charing, Pet's Place, that's the HQ, and at the top of the hill outside of Charing was another camp, and one at Stalley's Field. And we were taken to Hall's Place, right out in the middle of nowhere, as you know. And when we got there was only just the rear party that was there. And I think we were there about 3 days before, you know, the scheme finished and the rest came back. And so we had, well, as bad as I can remember it. That was the joining of the 9th.
What kind of things were you doing at Charing?
Well, really, the tank crews then, my memory served me right, were changed around quite a bit. And gradually, you got into a crew. I was in 13 Troop. And the thing that we used to do there was go out on schemes. There's a big park near Eastwell Park or something. I don't know quite the name of it, but we used to go out on schemes around there. Schemes all around the Kent area. We did go to War Cop for firing, because they could do battle runs there with the tanks. And we also, while there, we went up to Kirkcudbright in Scotland. And that was also for range work. That's about the two. But we did do quite a few schemes around the Kent area, of course.
What exactly is a scheme?
Well, it's when the troops go out, you practice all war conditions. You get to know each other, of course. I I think, quite truthfully, all these schemes, all sort of one thing, was to prepare you for war. And we went up, you know, and out to really work as a unit in a tank, which, let's face it, is very important. I mean, and I think they put into you quite truthfully, though you perhaps don't realise it, I was very proud to belong to the 9th Royal Tanks. And I thought it was the best tank regiment in the army. I thought the C Squadron was the best squadron within the 9th Tanks. And I'm certain the 13th Troop was the best troop. And I mean, and I think this is instilled in you. And when you do all these schemes, whatever you do, I think this is always at the back of your mind. And I know just before we went to Normandy, we went to Brighton and we did quite a few. Our last schemes were done on the Downs, you know, in the Hove. And also we went, in that winter, we went to Shaker's Wood in Suffolk, near between Thetford, Swaffham and that. Same kind of thing. And really what you're learning is how to fight as a troop, how to fight as a... I was a driver operator, and you learned how to keep your radio on net, how to keep in contact, although Morse code was very rarely used, it was all, you know, RT. You sometimes swapped each other's jobs a little bit, you did a bit of driving, you know, but basically I was a turret man, I was a wireless operator gun loader.
What kind of equipment did you have?
You mean in the guns? Well, we had a 75 milli.
What type of tank you had?
Well, Churchill's. We were always Churchill's. We had a 19 wireless set, like I say, a 75 milli and two Beezers. A Beezer machine gun, one in the turret, one in the co-driver used to fire.
Any incidents that happened to you at this time?
Well, I was in England. Yeah, I went on loan for a time with the engineers. I remember there was a chap named Sammy Stubbs from 11 Troop and myself, and all that we did, we went down to Shorncliffe Barracks. And all that was happening there, there was a Remy regiment that had never done Churchill tanks. And all that we did with this tank, we used to go down, and all these Remy chaps used to do work on it, take it to pieces basically, then get it going again. And then Sam and myself had to drive it to check what the work was. And that was it. And quite simply, it was a very nice 3 weeks. You know, as well as that, I know we went with the engineers once with three tanks. And what we were doing was, these were scenes that they put into, you know, the rolls of wood that they roll up. And then they throw it into a ditch so that a tank can go on and up. And I also remember we did Bangalore torpedo. In the co-driver's place of a Churchill tank is a hatch. And what they wanted to do, they wanted to put a Bangalore torpedo with a tube to push it into a minefield, you know, that they can ignite to make way through. And that was the kind of work we did there, which was good. I found interesting. But really, I know that we hated, well, I didn't hate, but they thought we'd been at All's Place, which is quite away from Charing, quite a bit. And what they did, we changed with B Squadron, and we went to the camp at the top of the hill. But by this time, the wood opposite, the battalion kept all its tanks. Where before they were split up, now we had one huge, big tank park. And so it was a lot better. Because, I mean, you could go into Maidstone or Ashford and you only had to walk up the hill, you know, when you come out. Where before you had to get onto a lorry to take you back to camp.
So you were preparing for Normandy, essentially.
Yeah, obviously.
Can you take me through the preparations for crossing the Channel, please?
Yeah, well, I think so. What happened after we'd finished the scheme in Brighton, and we were then sent to Aldershot. While we were at Aldershot, the main job really was to waterproof the tanks. And so that, of course, if you come off the landing craft, you know, your tank wouldn't stall because it was waterproof. We did all of this. I think altogether we were there, I should say, 5-6 weeks. We were at North Camp. I know that we had to fall in for meals there, you know, but basically that's what it was about, was getting the tanks waterproofed and ready. And I know while we were there, we heard that the second front had opened and we were still in Aldershot. But it was only the very next day it could have been. We were on our way down to Goslar. And what we were there, I just don't know. We went to Normandy a few days after D-Day. And I can always remember loading up, going down the street there, and all people coming out with cigarettes and, you know, wishing us well. And we went on to an American landing craft. It was an American landing craft that took us over. That I do remember. We got off at, we were all put off the Isle of Wight, where we stayed for a short time. And I know we landed at Juno Beach.
What was the crossing like?
Didn't affect me much because seas never did. I don't think it was too bad when we went. I know the D-Day was a bit rough, but I don't think it was bad when we went. And I know when we got there, although we'd waterproofed the tanks, of course, then there was no Mulberry Harbour or anything like that. And I know that they we put off basically on dry land. You know, when we just drove off, we just didn't need the tanks could have got off without being waterproof, to be honest. And of course, we guided up, and really, there was no fighting actually then. I mean, we didn't do our first action until about a couple of days after, outside of Caen. And of course, my big memory was that we got hit and brewed up. And anyway, the five of us all got out, and I remember it was in a cornfield. And Frank Hodgson, I was a troop corporal, Stank. Frank Hodgson, who was the troop corporal, we all stayed down. And we realised the co-driver was missing. And Frank went back, and anyway, he was all right, a chap named Don Foster. And he got out of the tank, and the five of us, we just got back to Lyons. But the one thing was that we were pulled over the coals because we'd forgotten the... bear in mind, this was our first action, raw at it, and not one of us thought to pull up the lever on the fire extinguisher. So we were pulled over the coals for that.
Can you describe the circumstances under which the tank was brewed up?
Yes, an 88 milli got the back of the tank into the engine compartment, and it just went up in flames.
What was the tank supposed to be doing at the time when it was hit?
Oh, we were advancing, but I'm not quite certain where, but it was this side of Caen, and like I say, we brewed up and just got back, and of course, I think we lost quite a few tanks. I could tell you the name's in the book, because that was where Dave Gotobed and a chap named Roy Painter got killed.
Do you know the dates that you got brewed up?
Not really.
Was it June?
Oh, it was June, yeah.
And had you done much fighting before that?
Not really. None, I shouldn't think much. You know, I think it was the first, like I say, it was the first action we were in. and just advancing up, and an 88 milli got us, and that was it.
But nobody was injured?
Nope, never got a scratch.
Do you remember who was in the crew of the tank, would you?
Yeah, oh yeah. There was, driver was Jock Pearson, co-driver was Don Foster, wireless operator was myself, commander was Corporal Frank Hodson, and the gunner was Bernard Fitzpatrick.
Did the tank have a name?
Impregnable, I think. It was something like, you know, all the tanks in the 9th Battalion began with the letter I.
Did this brewing up have any psychological effect on you?
Not really. No. I mean, it's one of those things. A friend of mine, Norman Hopkins, he got blinded in the Reichwald Forest, and he was quite right, we all had to grow up fast. I mean, let's face it, we were only lads, but we become men virtually overnight, in case you had to do.
So what happened to you after the brewing up?
Got another tank, and then of course we went on. I can't remember much fighting in Normandy, in so much we went then. I know at a place called Saint-Pierre something or other, going up a hill, and we got fired on, and we lost a track. So we had to get out, but the tank was got back the next day. You know, it had a new track put on it. But I know we're in this village, Saint-Pierre's, and we were there for about 3 days while the tank got, made worthy again.
What hit you on that occasion?
I'm not quite certain, to be honest. I know it took the track. All that happened, the track went. So we got out. We couldn't do nothing. But I know that the Remy went up with recovery after, and you know the tank was got back. New track had to be put on. I think what happened, the reason we were 3 days, I think in the process the sprocket had got all, you know, the driving sprocket had got all put out of action a bit, you know. One of the biggest memories of anybody in the 9th Tanks, of course, was Hill 112. Can't remember much about it. I know it was a bad day, and I know when we were coming away, a mortar got its eye on us. And I know we got hit once or twice by mortars, but didn't have any effect at all, you know, except it was flipping well noisy inside, but did no damage at all. And we got off 112, but we were lucky. I mean, as you know, 112 was a bit air-raising. And then the next thing I know was, I'm not quite certain where, but I know the RAF came over to bomb, which I think they thought was a German position, and they started opening the bomb doors long before they should, and I know on top of the tanks laying off all this orange smoke, and I think the RAF did quite a bit of damage to the Polish armoured div. But, of that, that's just, you know, as my memory serves me now. And of course, it wasn't long after that, the fillets, and it was there that at fillets that I had my 21st birthday. You know, because I think you'll find fillets was in the September, and I was 21 on the 8th. After fillets, I remember going to Le Havre. And that was the first time going into Le Havre I've ever seen flamethrowers in action, the crocodiles. Bit awesome. But after that, of course, being in Churchill's, very slow tank, and the war kind of went on after fillets quite rapid. And we went through on the service corps pictures up on, tank carriers, and we basically went through northern France sitting on top of a tank, you know, on top of a transporter.
What were the targets of the flamethrowers?
Oh, I think there was a lot of snipers in that in the hall when we went in, and I think their main job was to, you know, let flames through the windows and that to